All right, I call this meeting of the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee to order. We are meeting remotely under House Rule 10.01. We will start with the roll. Anna, please go ahead.
Chair Becker Finn.
Present.
Representative Mueller.
Present.
Representative Scott.
Present.
Representative Feist.
Present.
Representative Frazier.
Present.
Representative Grossel. Representative Grossel.
Present.
Representative Herr. Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Johnson.
Present.
Representative Liebling.
Present.
Representative Long.
Present.
Representative Mortensen.
Present.
Representative Novotny. Representative Farr.
Present.
Representative Robbins.
Present.
Representative Vang.
Present.
Representative Zhang.
Present.
Anna, if you could call the folks who weren't here on the first go around, I think today, I just want to make sure we've got everybody.
I know we're missing Representative Herr.
Present.
Perfect. And Representative Farr. Representative Farr?
Present. Second time.
Oh, Representative Novotny. Yeah, that's what I'm missing. Representative Novotny?
All right. Well, a quorum is present. I think I see him signed on maybe. Oh, I see him on the screen now. So Representative Novotny is here. So a quorum is present. First thing we're going to do is take care of the minutes from yesterday. Representative Mueller, our Vice Chair Mueller, would you move the minutes of April 6th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Any discussion to the minutes of April 6th, 2021? All right. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, great. The minutes of April 6, 2021 are approved. So today, members, we will start markup of the DE3 amendment of House File 1030. So, you know, yesterday we walked through the bill, and now we're going to do markup and then hopefully get to final vote. Depending upon how things go this morning, we could wrap things up this morning. Otherwise, we do have a slot reserved later this evening if we need to come back to finish up our work. And with that, I am going to pass the gavel over to Vice Chair Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members. So, Madam Chair, would you like to move that House File 1030, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means?
Yes, Madam Chair, that would be my motion.
All right, thank you. So the bill is now before us, as amended by the DE3 amendment adopted yesterday. As Chair Becker-Finn said, we have six amendments, and we'll start with the author's amendment, the A3 amendment. Chair Becker-Finn, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A3 author's amendment, and I'll just go right to speaking to the amendment. So the author's amendment does a couple different things. So first of all, we realized there were a couple things that on the spreadsheet and in the bill were under the Supreme Court and actually needed to be moved to the district court section. And so that change is being made, so very technical. The other change is we're adding back in some language from House File 1691, which is the hate crime bill that we heard earlier. Now that corresponds with some other provisions that are in the public safety bill. And so we're filling in those provisions in our bill as well. And then last, if folks are following along yesterday in Ways and Means, our budget target was increased. And so that money is going towards court employee salaries and pay. And so that increase is in that pot of money there and has now been expanded to include enough money to do the raises for judges as well. So those are the main changes in the A3.
Thank you, Chair Becker-Finn. And members, I'll just pause here to see if there's any discussion to the A3 amendment. All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to adopt the A3 amendment say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, members, is the A1 amendment, which is an amendment that I will be offering, and I will move the A1 amendment. And just to give you a brief overview, the amendment arises out of a bill that Representative Agbaje had that was heard in the Commerce Committee. Under current law, a storage facility can initiate an eviction proceeding under landlord-tenant law, which is really strange and frankly not appropriate because a storage owner-occupant relationship is very different from the relationship that a landlord-tenant has. And the initial bill that Representative Agbaje had eliminated this eviction proceeding, and so there was nothing in that bill that related to our committee. However, stakeholders worked on a compromise, and that allowed for an expedited remedy to terminate the rental agreement that's outside of the landlord-tenant law, which really makes a lot of sense. And so this amendment reflects that compromise language. It's agreed upon by the storage unit folks and legal aid, and I think it's a really good amendment. And I do have testifiers, if there are questions, who are available to answer some of those questions. Representative Scott.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to go on the record as saying I'm supportive of this amendment. I've spoken with a couple of the stakeholders, and you know, normally we like to have things pass through the committee in the normal way, but I understand circumstances right now. And this is an issue that's kind of ongoing in the legislature, this whole storage unit. So when these folks can reach a compromise, that's a good thing. So I will be supporting the amendment today and encourage my members to do so as well.
Thank you, Representative Scott. And I, too, really appreciate the work that the stakeholders engaged in to get this agreement to us. Chair Becker-Finn, did you have a comment on the amendment?
It's a good amendment. I encourage members to support it.
All right. Seeing no other discussion to the amendment, we'll take the vote now. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A8 amendment, and I believe Representative Hollins will be offering the A8 amendment. And would you like to move the A8 amendment, Representative Hollins?
Yes, Madam Chair, that would be my motion.
Okay, so Representative Hollins moves the A8 amendment, and would you like to briefly describe that amendment, Representative Hollins?
Yes, I'm sorry. My 2-year-old is screaming, so I'm trying to close the door. Apologies. Thank you. Yes, I am here. The AA amendment is a pretty simplistic amendment to the portion of the bill that addresses the mental health data that may be collected by police officers and mental health units. And what it seeks to do is simply additionally, in addition to being able to share that information with the welfare system as described, it also allows us to share that mental health data with the subject's doctor or mental health professional if that information is gathered from that individual. So it's really, it's just trying to further our goal here, which is to ensure that a person who is in the throes of a mental health crisis is able to get the help they need. And, you know, the preferred method for that would be to engage their own practitioners as opposed to sending them through a welfare system where they possibly don't know anybody. So if that information is gathered, we just want to be able to share it with those folks as well.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I won't be supporting this amendment today. I completely understand why we're here and why we're trying to do the things that we're trying to do to help people in mental health crises. But there just aren't enough parameters around how this information is treated. There are no audit trails created here. There's no accountability for people that are sharing this information back and forth. And so I think it's kind of a Pandora's box here. I understand the reasons for wanting to share the information. But what's left out of this, and I'll address it in one of my amendments, is the person that's having the mental issues at some point when they are stable again, them having some way of controlling what happens with that information. And so I think this is an issue that is one that is not going to go away because of the mental health crises that we are seeing in, here in the state of Minnesota and other places around the country. It's a horrible situation, but I think this is an issue that deserves better vetting, and that's why I'm glad that the Legislative Commission on Data Practices is hopefully going to be reinstated this year, and this is something that I think that commission should take up so that we could get the right balance to protect the people that are in the crises, as well as properly providing information with the people that need to see the information. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Chair Becker Finn, would you like to comment on the A8?
I support the A8 amendment and encourage members to support it.
And I don't see any other member questions or comments. Representative Hollins, final thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just encourage folks to support this amendment. It's really not changing anything terribly substantive, just making it, just clarifying what the intent is behind this language.
All right. All those in favor of the motion to adopt the A8 amendment, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
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 No. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, Representative Scott, we're going to move to your A5 amendment. And Representative Scott, would you like to move the A5 amendment for our committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A5. Would you like me to explain what it does?
Yes, please.
Okay, thanks. So the A5 just clarifies some language that was put on that Representative Hollins agreed to in her work with Minkoji when the bill came to the committee the first time around. And it just clarifies that if any of this information is involved in a law enforcement investigation, that is treated the same as any other law enforcement investigative information after the investigation has been completed.
All right, thank you. Any member questions or comments on the A5? Chair Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as highlighted by Representative Scott, I think this is a good example of when we have a bill come through committee and there is discussion about it, that we can make the bill better. And so I encourage members' support of the A5 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I was just going to say I am in complete support of this language, and I appreciate Representative Scott working with Minkoji and other stakeholders to get this amendment drafted. So thank you, Representative Scott.
All right. I don't see any other member comments or questions. Representative Scott, any final words on your A5 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just encourage people's support.
All right. All those in favor of the motion to adopt the A5 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we will move to the A7 amendment. And I assume that Representative Scott will move that A7 amendment and tell us about it. Go ahead, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd like to move the A7 before the committee. And members, again, this is an issue where I would really like to see, bottom line, I'd really like to see this bill come before the Legislative Commission on Data Practices, because I believe the goal is important, but there has to be, again, that right balance of protecting the information, this very sensitive information, on the people that are the subjects of all of this sensitive mental health information. It's, again, it's highly personal information. And in 144.294, it talks about law enforcement's treatment of mental health data. And in my talking with some folks in law enforcement, usually this data is really, it's more verbally communicated in those circumstances where maybe a law enforcement officer is taking someone to the emergency room or for a 72-hour hold. And I know we have some law enforcement folks on the call or on our team here that could probably address the practicality. But my concern now is that what this bill is doing is creating some sort of situation where this information is going to be kept in a database, and they're going to be able to build kind of a psychological profile on people with all the information that's going back and forth between law enforcement and other, you know, where now we've expanded it to providers. We've, you know, the welfare folks, the social services. And we're asking our police officers to put on several hats, right? We're asking them to do their law enforcement job, and sometimes they have to be social workers too. And so what's happening is, you know, we, in, with the data practices law, we're trying to keep data in all these different baskets with rules about acquisition, retention, and use. And the game of kind of, not game, but the situation of what hat am I wearing right now as for a law enforcement officer, it sort of undercuts those valid and tailored public policies. And so we're blurring the lines. And so what this does, this amendment is, I'm sorry, I'm getting lengthy here, but we might as well get this all out of the way, right, folks? What this bill does is it says that these, this very sensitive data can only be used for the express purposes for what it was intended in this bill. And then also that when the person has reached a stable point, that law enforcement has to let the subject of this data know what information they have on them. And that information may have come from a family member. And in this situation where there's so much data being shared, it could be coming from several sources. So, and I want, before I finish my comments here, Madam Chair, I want all of us to kind of put ourselves in the situation of either ourselves or a loved one having sort of this a bad mental day, right? And how do we want, and what do we want to know from law enforcement? What do we want to know? Do we want to know that law enforcement has that information on us and what information they have? So I'll leave it with that, and I would ask for member support. And Madam Chair, I'd like a roll call on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Scott. So we'll move to discussion on that amendment, and I see that Representative Johnson has his hand up. Go ahead, Representative Johnson.
Chair Becker Finn, members, or I should say Chair Cope, Representative Moeller, Representative Becker Finn, members, I'm strongly in support of this amendment. When law enforcement go to the mental health calls, they're not there to obtain information. They might find out that the person's not on his medication. They generally don't even know what the medications they're on. Once in a while, they do find out. But with the medical personnel and the mental health people get there, a lot of times on a mental health issue, it's an ambulance that brings them into the hospital, if it's safe for them to do so. Otherwise, it might be a squad car that brings them to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. When the officers get to the hospital or with, when the ambulance gets there, they verbally tell them the information they know. We don't know what meds he's on, but he said he's not taking them. He didn't know what they were. Or we might find the bottle, an old bottle. We'd give it to the ambulance personnel. They understand what those medications do. Law enforcement doesn't have a full understanding of what all the medications do and how they interact with other medications and other narcotics they take, or the doctors and the medical professionals and the ambulance and the paramedics. They have a better understanding of that. But if a law enforcement agency is collecting that data, it needs to be protected and protected well. And right now, when a call comes in, there's an initial complaint report, an ICR. That is public information. So all that information is not going on there. They avoid putting it on there because they know it's public. It might be a person with a mental health call, but they try to screen that person's name even on those ICRs. Will, with law enforcement, after a number of contacts, start knowing that person, who it is, what's going on? Yes. We call them frequent flyers, and unfortunately, we have a revolving door where a person is in medical or mental health emergency. We get them the help they need. We get them in. 3 months later, they're released, stable again. They don't take their meds anymore, and 3 months later, we're dealing with it again. It's a common factor, and I don't know how we're going to deal with that. But we need to protect that information that law enforcement is having, make sure it's private or confidential. And right now, and that's why a lot of times law enforcement do not grab that information. They don't put it out there. They don't put it on the ICR. But if their agency is doing that, they better have that stuff documented and secured and made confidential. And this amendment does that, and it's the important part to keep that data safe. I fully support this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. And thank you, Representative Scott, for digging really deep into this particular bill and parts of the language. I am going to oppose this amendment primarily because of the reporting requirements at the last sentence in the amendment, the notifying the subject of the data that they receive mental health data. When I've spoken to stakeholders, including law enforcement, they expressed concern about how this would be burdensome for them to have to contact the folks who they've interacted with to let them know that they received they just said it would be unduly burdensome and they weren't comfortable with it. And in fact, they said that their concern was that there would be less, their concern is that law enforcement will be less likely to engage in this important work around mental health if there's going to be a lot of requirements for them to do things after the fact. So I am opposed to this, but I appreciate where you're coming from on this. And I do hope that data practices will find a balance, because I agree it is really sensitive information. And I personally, because it isn't private currently, I have experience with friends who have had mental health issues and it has come back to haunt them because it was public information. So I do appreciate your concerns with this, but I'm going to oppose this amendment today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also kind of echo what Representative Hollins just said. Representative Scott, I appreciate, I really appreciate your attention to these kinds of issues, but I don't feel this amendment is really ready. And I do have sort of an additional concern. I was going to ask you about that last sentence, because that does kind of make me wonder how all that can happen. But also, I also kind of wonder if this doesn't create some kind of liability on law enforcement. Just the requirement of the first sentence that, must not use the data. And it just seems like this is an issue that needs a lot more exploration. I think you noted that this needs to be really worked through more carefully. But at this time, I just feel like, even though I kind of support where you're going, I really need to vote no on the amendment, because I just feel like it's not ready. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Liebling. Chair Becker Finn, did you want to comment on the amendment?
Yep, thank you, Chair Mohler. And I would also encourage members to oppose the amendment. And similar to some of the concerns that Representative Liebling brought up, I know in my experience working on domestic violence cases and kind of that front end, when you see that police report, often that is when that initial police report, especially in some of our cases where, you know, nobody is arrested on the scene and they get to be sort of these complicated cases. And really, you only have that initial contact with the report. And specifically, the not being able to use the data for any other purpose. You know, there are sometimes when officers arrive on a scene and may notice that, you know, maybe there's some kind of child welfare situation going on. Maybe there's someone else in need of care. I think when people call for help, they want help. And I think that, you know, the person calling for help doesn't necessarily care whether the person, you know, what hat that person has on. I also think as we move forward, I think this is the important part about having this the original language included in the bill, I think, is we continue our discussions about how to make sure that we're not overburdening our peace officers, but also making sure that we have safer communities for everybody. You know, it may not be, and I think the language in the bill doesn't specify that it's just about licensed peace officers. It may be other staff who work for a law enforcement agency and are providing support for folks. And I think that we'll likely need to remain open to some of those possibilities so that we aren't, you know, making people wear so many different hats and really focusing people on the things that they're best at as far as taking care of folks in need. So I share the concern with this not really being ready at this point, but do appreciate the discussion, and again would encourage members to not support this amendment at this time.
Thank you, Chair Becker Finn. And before we take the roll, Representative Scott, final comments on your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the discussion on the amendment. And you know, I'll address the second part of the amendment first, regarding law enforcement having to let the subject of the data know what information they have. If they're collecting this data, they have the data. It's not that hard to get the information to the subject. And I can tell you from experience when we've dealt, whether it's license plate readers, whether it's any sort of information like that that law enforcement is collecting, or other entities, to be quite honest, other agencies that want to share information, medical information, whatever the case may be, we hear this a lot. It's just too hard. And I'm sorry, but if you want to share the data, it comes with accountability. And so this is what this bill or this amendment is trying to do, is just establish some accountability so that we know that the subject of the data has been informed that, yes, law enforcement has this information on them, and that law enforcement only uses it for express purposes, so that no other rights that this person has by law are being infringed because law enforcement may use that information for some other reason. It can be used to profile a person. So, members, I would encourage a yes vote on the amendment, and thanks for the discussion.
Thanks, Representative Scott. So the clerk will take the roll on the A7 amendment.
Chair Becker Finn?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Feist?
No.
Representative Frazier?
No.
Representative Grossel?
Aye.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Liebling?
No.
Representative Long?
No.
Representative Mortensen?
Aye.
Wait, one more time, Representative Mortensen?
Aye.
Okay. Representative Novotny?
Aye.
Representative Farr?
Aye.
Representative Robbins?
Aye.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Jean?
No.
Okay. There are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. And members, now we are on the final amendment, and it is a minute shy of 9 o'clock. So kudos to us. The final amendment is the A9 amendment, which I believe is being offered by Representative Johnson. And so, Representative Johnson, if you want to move the A9 amendment and describe it to the committee, please.
The A9 amendment deals with the jailhouse witness, who's going to be maintaining the data on who the witness jailhouse witnesses are. I abused jailhouse witnesses in my past, but I believe that this information should not be held by the Attorney General's office. It should be held by the judicial branch. A lot of times the jailhouse witnesses provide information that leads to search warrants. And where the judicial branch could have that information and so they could see and hold it and maintain it, and they can look to see if this is a person that's continuously doing this. They can also find out if it's habitually doing it. But I also have concerns on the AG's office, especially with what's been going on in the last year dealing with the trial in Minneapolis. There's been a lot of leak of information that I believe has been coming out of the Attorney General's office. Leaks it all the way to the New York papers in New York. So I have concerns about the information getting loose. Jailhouse confidential informant I had actually got us into the Hell's Angels clubhouse. One of the first times it's happened in Minneapolis. Now, if that information was leaked, that individual would probably not be alive. That's why I'm real concerned about maintaining and making sure this information is well secured and it does not get out. And the judicial branch is probably one of the best places for that. I also have, just to let you know, that CRIs are hardly ever used anymore. A number of years ago, a judge ruled that in court, that information had to be released to the defense. So a lot of times they're not using that information anymore, or using a CRI anymore. But when they do, it's in very tightly controlled situations. And then the jailhouse witness, a lot of times, if an investigator using that is not verified and double checking to make sure it's accurate and just solely relying on the jailhouse witness, the investigator is not doing their job properly. But again, I want to make sure that the information is securely held and not subject to leaking. And again, I believe the best place for that is the judicial branch.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I, for this provision, the data storage is going to be accessed by prosecutors, and the Attorney General is the chief prosecutor of the state. So I think it makes sense to have the database stored with the Attorney General's office. We've also worked very closely with the Attorney General's office to bring the fiscal cost of the data storage down to zero, which I think this committee should appreciate. I haven't had any conversations with the courts, and I'm not at all certain that they would also have a zero fiscal cost. They might have a cost to this. I don't know if Representative Johnson spoke to the courts before bringing this amendment or not. And to the point about the ability of the Attorney General's office to maintain a database with security, I simply disagree. I'm not aware of any of the allegations that Representative Johnson has made about the Attorney General's office leaking. But this applies to the office in perpetuity. This is not just about any one individual. And the Attorney General's office is filled with professional staff who I think we can trust to maintain a database securely. So for those reasons, I oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. And I'll just note, too, as somebody who worked at the Attorney General's office for about 13 years, I can also attest to the fact that they have a very great security and a high level of professionalism in that office. Chair Becker-Finn, did you want to comment on this amendment?
Yes, thank you, Chair Mueller. And I would encourage a no vote, as Representative Long noted. A lot of work went into to getting this to a place where we could do this without a lot of cost. I also think it's very important that we correct for the record that there are no to this idea that somehow the Attorney General's office cannot be trusted with information. I think that's a pretty serious pretty serious thing to bring in front of the committee and to state publicly when there is no, you know, there's no proof that that's happened at all. And I don't think that that's, you know, a narrative that needs to be pushed when there is no accuracy to that. I think the Attorney General's office over the last couple of weeks has really demonstrated their ability to do their jobs very well and in a very difficult time. And in the reference to Minneapolis, I think it's clear, too, that, you know, what we're referencing is the trial of Derek Chauvin. And so I think it's important to just talk about what we mean and not to sort of falsely accuse our chief prosecutor of anything untoward. So I do think that's important that we correct that for the record. And again, we just encourage a no vote. I think this provision in the bill as is a good provision. And I'm glad that Representative Long did the extra work to figure out how we could do this without a large cost to taxpayers.
Thank you, Chair Becker-Finn. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make a comment here that you know, the Attorney General's office is a political office. They are elected according to party. The judicial branch, not elected according to party. And so I think the better place for this information is the judicial branch. And, you know, an office is judged by what it does do and what it doesn't do. And there was a police-involved shooting a few years ago, and Governor Dayton was governor at the time, and he was allowed to see investigative data. That there's no statute that said a governor is entitled to see something that everybody else is not when it's investigative data. And where was the Attorney General to enforce the law? That is just one example of how an office like the Attorney General's office can be used for political reasons. And so I fully support this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Final comments on your amendment, Representative Johnson.
Chair Mueller, members, what I'm looking for is the safety of the individuals. The judicial branch is our backbone of our judicial system. They have the final say. I haven't many times entrusted many things to the judicial branch. And I have 100% belief that they can do this job properly, do it correctly, and that is the proper place for this information. And with that, I'll just let you go to a voice vote and do what you think should be done.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. So all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Opposed? We have a little bit of a delay there. I think we did. Aye. Let me just do that one more time so we're clear here. If members can be unmuted, we'll just say that one more time. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no.
No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Okay, so members, that is it for the amendments that we had in front of us. Now we will move on to discuss the bill as amended. And so I'll just pause here to see if anybody has any comments or questions here before we move to a vote. Representative Scott.
I don't know if anybody else was going to say anything. I was going to save my comments till just before the chair gives her comments, but I'll go ahead. There's some good things in the bill, and of course there's some bad things in the bill from our perspective. And of course I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that the chair has put in the reinstatement of the Data Practices Commission. I think we've had a good discussion here today on why that commission is important to vet some really sensitive information, or to vet some really sensitive issues, and to try to get them right and to think them through, have a group, a body that focuses just on those issues. I think we get better public policy from having those sorts of things, those sorts of commissions at work. Again, there's some good stuff. Again, Representative Hollins, I appreciate the intent of what you're trying to do with your bill. I think that I don't know that it's moving in the Senate, but I think this is something that the Data Commission should explore. The mental health crisis is not going away. And so we need to address how to handle things going forward in this very sensitive data. I'm a little disappointed with how much money it spends over base. But again, you're in the majority, we're in the minority, and that's what these things, you know, you get to make those decisions. I just want to say, too, before we I have issues with some of the landlord and the tenancy and housing issues in this bill. And but I do want to thank Chair Becker-Finn for running a good committee, and to you, Vice Chair Mueller, for stepping in for her and running a smooth committee and keeping us focused on the tasks at hand. And hopefully next year we can actually sit around a table in person and have these discussions. And I want to thank staff, both partisan, nonpartisan staff who work really hard, you know, when the rest of us go on Easter break and all through the year. So thank you, Madam Chair. And I will be encouraging my members on this team to vote no on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scott. I don't see any other member hands. So at this time, Chair Becker-Finn, would you like to comment on your bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Mueller, and thank you, Representative Scott, for your comments. It has been, I think we have been one of those committees that's been able to function very as well as can function over Zoom this year, and do appreciate members' patience, and especially our brand new members who, you know, have not actually had the experience of sitting around that committee table and doing things the way we did in olden times. So, it's been a really interesting first year to chair a committee, and I appreciate all the members of this committee. You know, I think we've had a lot of good discussion here. So to the bill, you know, one thing I do want to say, in the interest of, I have to say things 100 times before anyone will hear me, is that one of the things that struck me right at the beginning when I was named chair of this committee is that the way we have never fully funded as a state our public defenders, and there is a constitutional right to counsel and a constitutional requirement on the states to provide that counsel for folks who cannot afford their own attorneys and are criminal defendants. And, the testimony that we've heard throughout about the really unsustainable caseloads and underpayment of our public defenders, I would have, if the target would have been higher, I would have really liked to have done more for the public defenders, because I do take that that constitutional level responsibility very strongly, and so I hope that more folks are starting to hear that message, because that is something that I think we need to really address as we continue to move forward in this year and into the future. I think at the When I was named chair, I told folks that I was going to be making my decisions and keeping equity and justice at the center of everything that we do and the decisions that we make. And I think that's really been borne out in what has been included in this bill. I think especially just to name a couple of the very important things that are included in this bill, the fines and fees reform, civil asset forfeiture reform, the hate crime statute. statute updates. And really, you know, at the forefront and at the top of a lot of people's minds, you know, including the things that are fall within our jurisdiction related to fixing the intoxication loophole in our criminal sexual conduct statute, I think is incredibly important. So I'm really, really proud of this bill and the reforms that we were able to include while still, you know, maintaining our public defenders and our justice system. I think as much as we talk about criminal justice, there is justice in a lot of other ways too. And I think we've addressed that in really important ways in this committee. And so, again, I really, really proud of this bill and encourage member support. I know that, you know, the things that are in this bill would really improve the lives of honestly thousands of Minnesotans. And I think that's really should be at the heart of the decisions that we make as legislators. And so would encourage members' support. And with that, I would renew my motion that 1030 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Chair Becker-Finn renews her motion that House File 1030 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and that staff be directed to make any technical corrections as necessary. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Becker-Finn.
Aye.
Representative Mohler.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
No.
Representative Feist.
Aye.
Representative Frazier.
Aye.
Representative Grossel?
No.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Hollins?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mortensen?
No.
Representative Novotny?
Novotny, no.
Representative Farr?
No.
Representative Robbins?
No.
Representative Vang?
Aye.
Representative Zhang?
Aye.
There are 10 ayes and 7 nays.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, House File 1030 as amended is recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and staff directed to make any technical corrections as necessary. Can hardly believe this, members. It's 9:15 and we're done. It's been a pleasure working with all of you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Chair Becker-Finn for final comments.
Thank you, Vice Chair Mohler, for your very good vice chairing throughout this year. We were able to get through our agenda. We don't have to come back tonight. I know folks are plenty busy with all of the other committee work that we have going on. I again want to thank all of our staff, both partisan and nonpartisan, as mentioned by Representative Scott. You know, they don't get to take the breaks when we're not meeting. And I know I personally have been incredibly impressed working with the nonpartisan staff on this committee that I maybe hadn't worked as closely with before. And it really is an incredible team of people, and truly appreciate your service to our state and to making sure that we can do our work and do it well. You know, always some of the smartest people at House Research, and we are very, very lucky to have them helping us in our work. I also want to thank members, you know, as I mentioned, I think for being on Zoom and for this being my first time chairing a committee, I think we've managed to figure things out pretty well. We heard nearly 100 bills during previous to the second deadline in this committee. You know, we certainly kept very, very busy, but I love committee work, so this is always like sort of a sad time of the legislative calendar for me, because I just love the work that we get to do in committee and really dig into these issues. And so appreciate all the discussions that we've had. And I really hope that the next we may do in the interim, and you know, possibly there. I know there are some issues that folks on both sides of the aisle are interested in digging into more. You know, we may have some informational hearings at some point, but, you know, right now we'll be focused on getting all of our budget bills moving and all the things we have to get done before the deadline in May. And so thank you, everybody, for your time and attention. And We will no longer be meeting at our regular scheduled times, but of course you'll be receiving an email from Ms. Ghanani if anything changes and there's something happens that requires us to be called back together. And so with that, thank you very much again. And Chi Miigwech, we will see you soon. And with that, we are adjourned.